Greetings. Welcome, everybody, to Empowering You to Breakthroughs, first in a series of Empowerment University. We've got a lot of exciting classes planned for you coming up. We're going to be doing one, Empowering You to Enter into Your Kingdom Destiny, Your Assignment, What Has God Prepared You to Do. Maybe it's a ministry in the church, but maybe it's a ministry in the marketplace. Maybe it's a ministry in the area of arts and entertainment. Those of you who have heard the teachings on the seven mountains, that will kind of be foundational, help you understand what mountain has God called you to climb? What area does he want you to impact this world and then really empower you to go for it? We're going to have another class on empowering you to walk in confidence, not in yourself and your own skills, but in God confidence. So we're excited about the classes that are coming up, and we're so thankful for those of you who have been part of this Pioneer class and have been so faithful and engaged. It's just been absolutely fabulous. I'm going to ask our ACE prayer warrior, Deanna Allen, to open in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you have accomplished for us. We thank you for what it is that you intend to accomplish through us. But most of all, Father God, we thank you for your unfailing, amazing love. We thank you that you've drawn us by your Spirit and that it's your desire that we would follow your example because you love your children. We want to walk in the way of love, and we want to be a fragrant offering to you, Father. We don't want to be an odor in the earth. We want our lives to be a living example, holy and pleasing. This is our reasonable act of service and sacrifice. And so, Lord, we just continue to lay down our own life, to lay down our own personal agendas, that we might decrease so that you could increase. We want more of you, Lord, more Lord, more Lord, more Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, have your way, have your way, have your way. Speak to us. Shake up what we believe. Shake up the faulty foundations that we've built our lives upon. Shake us up in our mind. Wake us up to the areas that have been darkened for us and in us and through us. Make us more of your image so that when people look at us, when people talk to us, when people even walk by us, that they do not just see more of the world, but they see your kingdom, that they have an encounter with you and they want to know more of you. Help us to be more like you, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, and it's wonderful to see that, again, the Holy Spirit has Deanna and I on the same wavelength because I picked up on one word she shared a number of times, and that was shake, and it's a word that I'm going to be honing in on as well. Now, we are on day 17 of a 21-day journey, and I understand what some of you are thinking right now because I get it, and I've been there. I enrolled in this class. 21 days to break through. I mean, 21 days, hey, in American culture, that's forever. That's a long time. We're used to instant. 21 days, I'm going to get my breakthrough. It's going to be great. I can't wait. We had over 600 women set out on this journey on day one, but here we are on day 17, and how many women have made it that far? It's a marathon, not a sprint. And maybe you're on the call today. We're listening to the playback, and you're like, well, I didn't get my breakthrough. Wait a minute. What happened? And maybe you're tempted to be discouraged and say, well, wait a minute. Is this hopeless? Should I just throw in the towel? I mean, I fasted. I did all the things that were recommended. I was on the call. I was pressing in. And it's easy to get discouraged and say, well, wait a minute, God, I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling here. This isn't working out the way that I thought it would. And I wanted to encourage you today that, yes, there is hope. And as you guessed it, that's going to be our word, and that's going to be our acronym. You know, the Apostle Paul had a call on his life. You know, Jesus knocked him off his horse and said, hey, look, get up. I'm going to show you all that you've got to do for me. I've got this amazing assignment for you. And Paul's like, yeah, let's do this thing. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, 24, 26, how that kind of turned out for him. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I didn't know Paul personally, but I can't imagine that at some point along that journey he thought, huh, this isn't exactly the way I thought this thing was going to play out when I signed up to follow Jesus. Do you think he could have predicted that any of those things were going to happen to him? And maybe when you became a Christian, God spoke to you and you had this great vision for what it was going to look like to live out that Christian life. And it hasn't worked out quite the way you thought it would. You know, my best friend, some of you see me interacting with her on Facebook. Her name is Deborah Lovett. And she actually came to hear me speak at a women's conference, I think it was in 1995. And everybody had left the building, and she was the last woman sitting in a pew crying and praying. And I went over, and I sat down next to her and asked her. She shared her story, and I prayed with her. And she turned out to be a women's ministry director, invited me to come speak at her church. Our friendship grew, invited me back the next year. Our friendship grew, and we've just become best friends. And she became a Christian in her, I think she was in her early 20s. And she was so excited. She was like, oh, wow, all my problems are solved. It was her boyfriend who actually invited her to church, and she became a Christian, and everything was great, and life was grand. And then she began to go through so many trials. It's just unbelievable. We've actually just written a book about her life, including her entire house burning down. And, you know, there's a hurricane, there's a tornado, her husband almost died. I mean, the things that she has been through. If I hadn't walked through it with her, I wouldn't believe that all these things could happen to a person. And in the midst of it, I mean, we just held on to each other. But I'm telling you, sisters, not only is it going to be a best-selling book, the book's already written, it's going to be a movie. And God is going to use all that she's lived through to touch people all over the world. But when she signed up to follow Jesus and accepted him in a little Baptist church, she could never have predicted all of the things that God would walk her through. And maybe you feel that way. And I don't know if it's been a fire and a hurricane and a tornado and your husband almost died. I don't know what you've been through, but I guarantee you one thing, you've been through a thing or two. And you're wondering, God, is this really what you had in mind when you called me? Is my life hopeless? Or am I really going to be able to make a difference in this world? One of Paul's shipwrecks, he says he had three shipwrecks. One of them is recounted in Acts 27 and 28. And he's had a call of God. He's going to go to Rome, and he's going to preach in Rome. He's like, okay, let's do this. Let's go to Rome and preach in Rome. And I can't recap all two chapters. You've got to read it for yourself, Acts 27 and 28, all of the things that happened to this man. But among those is a shipwreck. And they come ashore. I'm going to read this portion of it. It's Acts 28, beginning 1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Bad enough to be in a shipwreck. You know, if you're going to be in a shipwreck, can we at least have some sunshine? No, rainy, cold shipwreck. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." And I wonder if there's a woman on the phone right now, and God called you to do something. You had a vision for your life, and you set out to do it, and so many things happened to you that the people around you are saying, she mustn't be a very good Christian. That's what happened to my girlfriend, Deborah. I mean, there are whole people, swaths of people all around her in that community who think, well, God must be mad at her. You know, they mustn't be very good Christians if all these things keep happening to them. God must be judging them. They must have some secret sin in their lives. Do you know, want to see how Paul responded? Everybody's talking about him. Yeah, God must really not like Paul at all. Must be a horrible person if all these bad things are happening to him. Verse 5, but Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. It just goes to show, sisters, you know, you can't live your life by other people's opinion. You can't. You've got to hold on to Jesus, fix your eyes on him, and hold on to hope that he knows what he's doing. And there's the word, shake. Shake the snake. When you know that you are on assignment from God, you know what he's called you to do. If you're a woman with a purpose, you're on assignment, you've got that vision, you're pressing onward, you know your breakthrough is there, not for your sake. I hope you don't want a breakthrough to make your life easier. I hope you want a breakthrough so that you can step up and be the woman God called you to be and step into your assignment and your destiny and make a difference in this world. That's why we want a breakthrough. It's not an end in itself. And so we've just got to shake the snake. When things come against us, we say, you know what? I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm not going to let people's opinions stop me. I'm going to keep pressing on. Sisters, you're going to shake the snake. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if there's your mother-in-law, you got to, you know, get her out of your life. But I'm saying emotionally, in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, you've got to be able to just shake it off when you feel like you've been bitten by a person or a circumstance. You just shake it off and move on to what God is calling you to do. HOKE, you ready for your acronym? H is hear and hold on to the prophetic word. Now, what does she mean by prophetic word? Let me tell you, I believe the gift of prophecy is simply this. It is the ability to accurately hear and the courage to boldly proclaim God's highest and best for a person or group of people. I'm going to say that again because I think it's important. The gift of prophecy today is the ability, supernatural ability, given by God, a spiritual gift, to accurately hear and the courage to boldly proclaim God's highest and best for a person or group of people. And so I think it is extremely important for us to have people in our lives who have that gift. We need to have people in our church, and you need to identify those people. And we don't want to lean on them to the exclusion of going directly to God. That can become a trap. But I do think it's important that you have people in your life that you know have this gift. And they're bold, you know. Deanna's like that in my life. She's bold. We're going to pray together. She's going to tell me exactly what she believes God is saying, even if it hurts my feelings. But the prophetic gift is really to lift us up. And you need, and sometimes God will speak directly to you, but you need to hear it and you need to hold on to it. And that's what happened with Paul. God had shown him, look, you're going to Rome, and you're going to preach the gospel there. And so that no matter what shipwreck, people's opinions, accused of being a criminal, all these horrible things happened to him, he just shook it all off and kept right on going. And I know in my own life, I cling to those words that have been prayed over me. And to me, it's almost more powerful when I'm sitting in a church service, and I've been there, and thousands of people in the room, and the guy at the front of the room says, you there in the blue sweater, the Lord says, and he prays over me, and it is so accurate. It's like he's reading my mail. It's crazy. It's a powerful, uplifting gift. And I write those down, and I cling to them. And I read them over and over, and I record them as a voice memo, and I say, Lord, you have said, whether he said to me directly or whether he said to me through one of his servants, the prophets, I cling to that, and that's what keeps me going. Lord, you have said that you have called me to go into all the into the nations of the earth and to serve you. You've told me that you've called me to bring literal food and water to the world, that there's a destiny for me. That's what keeps us going on. What has the Lord spoken to you, either directly or through powerful prayer warriors? That is a proclamation of his highest and best for you. You have got to write that down, and you've got to hold on to it and not let it go. Even if you're in a shipwreck, even if a snake jumps out and bites you, you're like, no, 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 that's not going to stop me. I'm pressing on. always open your heart to whatever God wants to do and be fully present in every situation. We get so swept away in our mind. We go back to the past or we look to the future, how it's going to work out. We need to be present in the moment. You know, Paul, rather than saying, well, how did I get here? I thought I was going to Rome. Everything's all messed up. Where's God? He just gathers some wood for the fire. He does what's in front of him. And some of us are sitting on our couches or laying in our bed, bemoaning our fate, wondering where it all went wrong. What we need to do is get up and gather some firewood. Do what needs to be done in the practical and in the natural, and let God figure out the supernatural. That right there is probably one of the most important things I'm saying on this call. Paul got busy about the practical and let God handle the spiritual and the supernatural. Open your heart to whatever God wants to do, whether it's a shipwreck, a snake, whatever. It doesn't matter. You don't need to have an opinion. Just say, Lord, here I am on the island of Malta. Let's do this thing. It's not where I thought I was going to be, but I'm here now, and so I'm going to serve you in this moment. And then P is press on. I jumped ahead. But this is shake the snake. I hate to quote Miley Cyrus, but really there's no choice. Really, I'm telling you, one of my absolute favorite songs, The Climb. It's not about how fast I get there, not about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. And yes, we cling to that prophetic destiny. We cling to that high call that we're pressing onward for. But it's really not about that. It's about how do we conduct ourselves on the journey. See, yes, very important for Paul to get to Rome. Absolutely. But equally important, the way he conducted himself on the way. How are you conducting yourself? I meet so many women. I want to have a ministry. I want to write a book like you. I want to be a speaker like you. And that's great. How are you conducting yourself along the way? How are you doing at the grocery store? Can you be trusted at Walmart to be a spokesperson for God by the way you live when you're driving your car? Before you get the microphone and the book contract, let's be really mindful of how we're conducting ourselves on the way to where we really want to be. And I hope that makes sense. It's who we are as we go. That's really the ministry. That's the most powerful ministry. And then E is just enjoy it. You know, Paul had a grand old time on Malta. Read the whole chapter. They had dinner parties and hospitality, and he started healing people and having church. He just had a grand old time. And then he went to Rome. They put him in prison, and he made the most of that too. He was there for 2 years, and among other things, he sat and wrote letters, which we now call the epistles, and they constitute the majority of the New Testament. So you think God is doing one thing, and he may be doing something else. Paul wanted to preach in Rome, and he did, and that was very important. But he also wrote the bulk of the New Testament, which has now preached the gospel to the whole world in countless languages. So God may be doing something even bigger than you think. So let God figure it out. You just be faithful and be obedient. Hold on to hope. God is working, even when you feel like you're in the middle of a shipwreck. He is answering your prayers. Even when a snake jumps out and bites you. See, his testimony was even more powerful when he got bit and shook it off. Everyone was like, wow. Sisters, if you can shake off the stuff that happens to you and not let it defeat you, do you know what a testimony that is in a culture where a broken fingernail is enough to make the average woman just fall to pieces? I mean, if you can be like my girlfriend Deborah and have her entire house reduced to ashes, and the only thing that survived that fire, I think it was a 6,000-square-foot home. The only thing that survived was her Bible, which is perfectly intact. You can turn every page. You can read every word. And a pewter tray that said, give us this day our daily bread. Everything else was completely destroyed by fire. God said, listen, I will take care of your spiritual needs. Here's my word to feed you. And I will take care of giving you your daily bread, your physical needs. The rest you don't need to worry about. And her ability to press on and shake that off is just unbelievable. And, of course, there are those people that, oh, God mustn't love her. He let her house burn down. She must be doing something wrong. But I believe God is going to elevate her because of the way she's conducted herself through these trials and use it in a powerful way. And the same for each and every one of you, whether it's challenges with your children, with your health, with your husband, with your church, your career, whatever area it is, sisters, if you can hold on to hope and trust and believe that God's doing something big in your life, bigger than you can even imagine right now, He's going to use you in an amazing, amazing way. Hold on to hope. Deanna.
I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about probably the other group of women, and I'm really just praying maybe tomorrow we can talk about this. I'm thinking about the shipwrecks that are caused by us not doing those practical things in our Christian life. I'm thinking about, you know, Jonah being told to go and give a word, and he decides he's going to go in a different direction. And he ends up, you know, not only bringing a shipwreck on himself, but on everybody around him. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, you're talking about doing these practical things and asking God, you know, for the bigger things, when His word clearly says, you know, if you can be tried and found faithful in the little, then you can be entrusted with much. And, you know, I mean, if he's called you to be a prophet and you feel awkward giving a stranger a word in Walmart, you know, gosh, I really sense you're, this happens to me all the time. I mean, you know, if I want to move in ministry, I just go out in public anywhere. And, you know, I mean, I'll see a woman and the Lord will just really put on my heart, gosh, her marriage. He'll give me this word of knowledge and then ask me to speak into what it is that He's shown me. You know, gosh, I really see that you're down. Can I pray for you? And a lot of times they'll say yes. And then that's the opportunity for me to let them know what God says. But you know what? God can't send me out to a church to go and give a corporate prophetic word if I'm not willing to grow in it. And so I'm sitting here thinking about all of these women that, you know, maybe are now toward the end, some that are jumping in, and where is this hope? What can I expect out of this journey? You know, what if my life is the shipwreck and I'm sitting here in it? What hope is there for me? And gosh, there's just so much. Can we talk about that tomorrow?
Yes, I think we are going to talk about that tomorrow. Our theme tomorrow is going to be from glory to glory, not from mess to glory. So it's going to be a great one. I think that will tie in perfectly.
Okay,
God has said He'll move us from glory to glory, but He hasn't promised anyone that He'll move them from a mess to glory. So sometimes what we need to do is clean up the current mess we're in to the best of our strength, like Paul gathering up that firewood, and then God will move us on to glory. So I think that'll be a great kind of part two of what we're sharing today.
Okay, well then I'm going to share our daily focus word is hope. Da, 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 da. And here's the daily devotional. I know the plans I have for you. They are plans of a future and of hope. It's crucial that you do not lose hope, for hope deferred makes the heart sick. The secret to not getting heart sick is Christ, your only hope of glory. When you are poor, I put you back on your feet again. I rekindle your burnt-out lives with fresh hope and restore dignity and respect to your life. A word from me will secure your stumbling feet and bring fresh hope when you are about to collapse. I am far higher than you can imagine, far deeper than you can comprehend. I stretch farther than Earth's horizons, wider than the endless ocean. Set your heart on me. Reach out to me. I can help you forget your troubles. They'll be like old, faded photographs. I will wash your world with sunshine, dispersing every shadow. I will fill you with hope. You'll relax, confident again. You'll look around, sit back, and take it easy. The mere sound of my name signals hope, even among far-off unbelievers. I will fill you up with joy and peace. Your believing life, filled with the life-giving energy of my spirit, will brim over with hope. Share the hope I give you. Pitch your tent in the land of hope. Be glad from the inside out. Be ecstatic. Keep me before you at all times so that nothing can shake you. I'm right by your side. Walk in my hope.
It's almost funny. People think that we, like, coordinate this. We don't. It's better than we don't. That's so funny. Okay, so the message today is, shake it off. Don't let it shake you. I like it. Crystal, if you are on the line, we would like you to press *6, and we're going to pray over you. Crystal. *6. And announce yourself, please. Just spoke with Crystal a few minutes ago. Crystal, are you on the line? *6.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
There you are. I always have that moment of panic, like, is she not here? Crystal, can you go ahead and share very briefly with the ladies the area where you're needing breakthrough? And I have a feeling that the gathering the firewood probably resonated with you today. But go ahead and share where you need breakthrough, and then Deanna and I are going to pray for you and, of course, for all the women today.
Yes, ma'am. I was sharing with Donna that basically I have I've always suffered from depression since I was a teenager, and I think that it leads into me maybe trying to zone myself out, you know, from the world sometimes it gets hard, and instead of, you know, turning to God and getting into His word like I'm trying to do now, I often try to put it upon myself to change myself. And so there's different areas I struggle with. One of the big ones I think God's speaking to me about is my trouble with the TV, maybe watching these TV shows, and, you know, they're not like horrible TV shows, but some of them, you know, borderline TV shows because they are secular TV shows. And I just have been, you know, feeling His call to say, well, Crystal, just turn off the TV, you know, go in there and read my word. And, you know, sometimes I had a bad day, so it's easier to zone into something like that and just kind of mute yourself in the world instead of fix your eyes on God and let Him do the healing. So I really just feel like that's the main thing I need to break through. And once I break through that and take that step of just being obedient to God, that the other things I suffer from, like depression and trust issues and things like that, will come with His healing as well. But at first I have to show Him I'm going to be obedient in order for Him to, you know, help me with the rest of the things I struggle with. So that's basically what it is.
Okay, Crystal, thank you. And I appreciate her being honest. I'm going to say something maybe controversial, but that's okay. I can handle it. The commercials literally are programmed to kind of hypnotize you a little bit. I know, Donna, how can you say? Because it's true. I worked in advertising and public relations. They're designed to kind of put you in a hypnotic state so that you're more open to suggestions. And it's just flat out true. So that you'll buy their product. And if you don't think that you're affected by what you see, consider that major corporations spend billions and billions of dollars put those commercials on because they know that it's going to affect you. And because they're spending a lot of money, they've done a lot of scientific research so that they know how best to affect you. And the best way to sell you is to do some things with lightings and the computer. They almost put you in a trance of like, I've got to have a French fry. I've got to order pizza. It's just flat out true. I would urge you, Crystal, you know, if you're struggling with depression and you think you're struggling with depression, therefore you turn on the TV, I would suggest to you that you're struggling with depression largely because of the TV. And that turning off that television is going to be a huge step in the right direction for you. And I would just encourage you and encourage all the women listening, how can you gather some firewood today? How can you gather some firewood and light a fire under yourself today? Because a lot of us need, a lot of the women, you know, Deanna and I have been praying and listening to you. A lot of you need to just light a fire under your life and get up and get going and get that fire of God and the fire for getting your house in order and that fire for your marriage and that fire for God. Some of you need to light a fire today, and you start lighting a fire by gathering some wood. And for a lot of you, gathering the wood means turn that television off. I mean, we don't need 10 prophetic words and a confirmation from God to know. It's just a complete waste of your time. And it's a trap. I know, believe me, Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity. I mean, I get it. I'm sharing this stuff not because I don't know, but because I do know, because I've lived it and I've walked through it. And so gather some firewood. What does that look like for you today? Well, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that Crystal, just like Paul, has a destiny, that there's something that you've called her to do. I know that you've blessed her with children. You've blessed her with a wonderful husband. You've blessed her with a second chance of life. And so, Father, I pray that she would find great hope in that. Lord, that you did not leave her in the difficult situation she had been in, but you brought her up out of that. And you're going to give her a platform, whether it's just to the woman next door, a woman at church, to say, hey, look, your situation isn't hopeless. God can do a new thing. Look at me. I've got my children. I've got a wonderful husband I didn't think I could ever have, but God did it. There are so many women who need to hear that message, who made mistakes early in life and think, well, it's over for me. And Crystal, you know, and you are living proof that that's a lie of the enemy. There is hope. There is new life. And so my challenge to you, sister, is just see how God has blessed you and become fully alive. Get on fire for him. Turn off the TV. Turn away from foolish and self-destructive things and step up into your destiny and be that woman, that mom, that wife, that minister. And I don't mean like, you know, pastoring a church. I mean just the ministry that God has for you in speaking hope to women who maybe made mistakes early in life. And I know that God is going to empower you. Give attention to how you're treating your temple. What are you putting in your body? Are you giving it enough water? Are you feeding it God's food? Or are you feeding it the junk food you're seeing advertised on TV? Begin to gather the firewood and ask God to light the fire. In Jesus' name, amen. Deanna?
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking... first of all, Crystal, I want to say that if you're new to the group or if you jumped in during the second week, if somehow you missed the first week's weekend assignment, which was day 6 and 7, Healing and Deliverance Part 1 and 2, go back and listen to those. One of the things that we deal with in deliverance, actually a doorway for demonic activity, which, you know, can be depression, is zoning out. Intentionally zoning out and trying to clear your mind. We don't want to clear our mind, especially when we're clearing our mind because of some of those root issues, you know, our damaged emotions. We're feeling abandonment, rejection, anxieties, fears, anger, rage, unworthiness, unbelief, shame, bitterness, you know, performance failure, mental problems, addictions, dependencies, depression, any of those things. We're being driven by those things. That's what a stronghold is. So we're already being drug along by those things. And then we go to clear our mind. Instead, what we need to do is we need to fill our mind. And this is that firewood. We need to fill our mind with the things of Christ. We need to intentionally, you know, ask Jesus. Take that time when you feel like turning on the television, when you feel like, you know, Donna and I joke around opening the bag of Doritos or eating the whole package of bonbons, getting on the internet and finding out that 4 hours later, you know, you're 30 websites deep. We don't just want to clear our mind and leave it accessible. We need to on purpose go, and we need to gather those things that are going to be fuel, that fire, that firewood, to our spirit. Because as long as we're being led around by our soul, our mind, our emotions, and our will, you know, I think, I feel, I want, the things that we talked about much earlier in this class, then we're going to be led to feed our flesh. When really what we need to be doing right then is feeding our spirit. You know, I'm just going to be really bold. I've told a lot of women this. God's already done his part. We keep coming to God. You know, Joyce Meyer said it. You want to take authority over demons, and you can't even take authority over your dishes. And, you know, the Nike logo, Nike, means just do it. Just do it. Yeah, your flesh isn't going to want to. That's why we have to crucify our flesh daily. That's why we have to feed our spirit, man, this fuel, this fire. And then I also want to add, and maybe we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but this is just the encouragement. You know, when you stand in the fire, the impurities are what come up. and they come up just glaring to the top. And I think that, you know, a lot of the women, we've been asking God, you know, take us to the fire, bring the impurities, and then, wow, they're like blaring right there in our face, and we want to jump out of the fire. So, you know, I just encourage you, Crystal, to gather the firewood, light the fire, let, you know, ask Holy Spirit and all of the women that are listening to this, not only light the fire, but stay in the fire. Stay in the fire. I believe that this is part of shaking the snake. You know, don't be afraid when these impurities all come up to the top. When you stay in the fire just a little bit longer, what you're going to see is a pure and holy vessel, a pure and holy vessel. So, Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you have already given us everything that is necessary, and I ask, Father God, that you would help us now to do our part. You have already shown Crystal that watching TV is not beneficial for her, for her mind, or for her life. So you've already done your part. Now she needs to stand in the grace when she feels the need to zone out and she reaches for the remote control to intentionally put down the remote control, pick up the Bible, and say, God, this is an indicator on the dashboard of my life. My soul is crying out to be numbed out because something is bringing me discomfort. So I'm going to come into the presence of the Comforter, your Holy Spirit, and I'm going to ask, what is this all about? What is the solution? Where do we go from here? Where is my breakthrough from this addiction, from this depression, from this escaping mentality? I want to escape into your presence, Father. Father God, I pray that you would help Crystal to understand that the things that she is hungering and thirsting for that are of this world are going to produce a worldly lifestyle, a life that produces death. You said that the wages of sin is death. And you've laid before us choices, life and death. You laid them before us, and then you let us have our will. You're not going to take our will away from us. So we need to will ourselves to go, to gather, regardless of what's going on, regardless of the circumstances, the shipwrecks that are going on around our life. You have called us to be vessels of honor. We are your children, and we have your inheritance now. We have it now. So, Father God, I ask that you would just help us to be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that we might just do it. Just do it. Nike, just do it. I thank you that you go before us. I thank you that you follow behind us. I thank you that you are beside us, that you are in us, that you are over us. I thank you that we are filled with your Spirit, that Crystal has the ability. I pray, Father God, that you will blow on that desire, that you will help her to shift the atmosphere in her soul, that she would begin to hunger and thirst after things of you, and then she will see this depression lift. Because we cannot walk in the things of you and in the things of the world. Darkness has no fellowship with light. So as we bring these areas into your light, you illuminate the darkness, and the darkness has to flee. We proclaim this over Crystal and over every woman in this group. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Powerful. Tomorrow, glory. How do we live a glorious life? And remember, to glorify means to give an accurate reflection. How do we live a life that gives an accurate reflection of who God is? And then Friday, we're going to finish up with Dream Again. It's going to be a powerful ending to the teaching portion of this class, and then you'll have some assignments to wrap up for the weekend. We're just really excited about what God has for these last 2 days, so we'll see you on the call tomorrow and Friday. Would love your feedback on the Facebook group of how God is speaking to you through this class and especially through today's message. Well, that's it for today. Thanks so much for tuning in, ladies. God bless.